Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nexus Podcast with Heather and Jimmy, your breakdown of all the important news in the world of Blizzard Entertainment. As always, you can find older episodes on nexuspodcast.com, available on all major platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, etc. And as always, hashtag Nexus Podcast.
Yes.
Let us know what you think of the show, any questions you have, or anything you'd like us to cover that we haven't been covering. We'd love to hear from you. And video episodes up on youtube.com/DJTyrant. And we also have a Facebook group if you search for Nexus Podcast.
Yes.
Along with other things. Discord as well. If you go to my profile and click on the link that's in either my Twitter or Instagram, there's a link to the Discord there.
Okay, good.
You can find all the stuff on my profile. But there's a lot to cover this week.
So much.
And we missed last week because recovering from DreamHack and all that stuff. So we just want to get into our week in geek. Mine's going to be a little bit long because we're going to be talking. Well, I guess we'll go back and forth a little bit talking about DreamHack.
It was a week ago.
Yeah, it was a week ago. Well, 2 weeks ago, technically.
Oh, gosh, you're right.
I guess.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
2 Sundays ago.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, DreamHack Anaheim 2020 happened. And first of all, I just want to thank Renisa Gaming for helping me get those tickets.
Yes, thank
you. Getting us both tickets for the event.
That was nice.
It was so fun to cover and attend. And also Brandon Shamanom over at Twitch. He works on their security kind of team.
The Twitch police, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. If you've heard the term Twitch police,
he's one of them.
Yeah, we taught Heather what that was. Mm-hmm. But he's been really encouraging me to apply to all this stuff. So it was really cool to see that kind of pan out. Also, I did a media and gaming panel, which I will be throwing up on my YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll fix the audio was kind of weird.
It was in a big hall with lots of noise and ambience.
If you were at BlizzCon this last year, if you went to the arcade, it was down there.
Mm-hmm.
So same Haldi. Place. Yeah. But probably the coolest thing for me personally, I got to stream Overwatch at DreamHack.
Thanks to CLX.
CLX,
the company that sponsored DreamHack.
Yeah.
Had tons of streaming booths, and you were able to get on that waiting list.
Yeah. No, that was cool. Super cool. So I got to do that, and you got to hang out with me and
other people.
it took me forever because I recognized the woman who was streaming next to us, and it was Jupiter Gaming or something like that, I think. She was really nice.
She was quite exuberant.
Eccentric.
Yes.
You have Poor to be.
I know. I, felt so bad. I know.
Oh, I thought it was so funny. Well, I thought the funniest thing was a bunch of our friends came by and were like waving at me, and then you like ditched me to talk to them,
which is great because
I'm like I gotta keep streaming here.
The struggle of streaming, and that was the hard part is that the streamers were very much in the face of their fans, but then also further back that you really couldn't interact with them.
Oh, yeah.
And those headphones you wore were really good.
They were super good noise canceling. They were Corsair, I believe. Because all the accessories were Corsair, the mouse and keyboard and headphones were Corsair.
Like Cyber Plus.
It was all Corsair.
Okay. I don't remember.
I don't know. There was a lot of cool stuff. And I got to try out, finally, like in an actual live streaming environment, I got to try out... Oh my gosh, I can't even remember the name of it right now.
I'm trying to find them.
Oh my goodness.
Talk to me, use words.
John is going to kill me for forgetting the name of this. The streaming deck thing.
Oh, I'm pulling it up, I'm finding it.
What's it called? Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to Google this. Vamp for me for like 2 seconds.
I'm trying to find a picture. G-O-X. Go-X something.
Oh, Go-XLR.
You're welcome.
That's it. And that thing is really cool, and I kind of want to save up for it now.
How much are they?
It's about $400.
Holy moly!
But it's really, really awesome for live streaming stuff.
$400.
I know it, but it allows you to separate out like your Discord, so you can have your Discord and listen to it, but it not come out on stream if you want.
Ooh, that's useful.
I'm pretty sure Tally does that because whenever he streams, WoW stuff. You only hear him. Mm. You don't hear anyone else.
Okay, that's on stream. Cool.
So that's really cool.
And then it was also neat because I love the CLX computers. No, yeah, CLX.
Yeah, what's interesting is I had not heard of this company before this event.
Neither have I.
I had never heard of CLX, but they are a really cool company. We actually got to go to a luncheon. Heather will talk about that in a sec, but we got to sit next to the CEO, I think.
Of CLX. His business. Like, yeah. He started it, so.
But basically, it's like.
George,
yeah. But they custom build PCs.
Mm-hmm. For events like this.
Mostly for events like this. Mm-hmm. But they also do sponsorships for events. And you can go on their site and pick out a pre-built system or build it out however you want. And you can actually do custom artwork too. All the systems at the streamer area were all custom painted. So they were all unique.
There was like some 90s. Like, what,
30 or so probably? Huh? Streaming stations?
Easily, yeah.
There was a lot.
And they had, like, themes. Like, one was, like, Nickelodeon, Rocko's Modern Life theme. There was slime-looking ones. There was, like, really cool holographic ones. They just looked amazing for a lot of it. And then they had the glass doors on the side. So you could see, like, the cool lights and whatever AMD or whatever processor.
It was all AMD, which was interesting. That was something he had talked about at this luncheon that we went to. Mm-hmm. Was there's definitely been this pre-existing notion that ATI is what I'm thinking of, but I'm thinking of oh my gosh, I just had a brain fart there.
I'm trying to help you.
AMD.
AMD, yeah.
Has always been bad for streamers, mm-hmm. And so he basically, instead of just arguing against that online or whatever. His thought process was, why don't I partner with AMD, put these systems out at mm-hmm. DreamHack for streamers to play with, mm-hmm. and show that you can definitely stream with these.
George was director of marketing and product
development. Director of marketing and product development. Okay. Yes. So.
And his girlfriend, Nicole, was great. But and it was really neat because I think AMD, didn't we talk to them at the luncheon as well?
They were not there.
But they were talking about how, like, they kept trying to up their hardware for streamers.
Mm-hmm.
Till eventually, like, after so many series, they're like, finally, it's good for streamers.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just, like, a debate anymore. They actually had the hardware to process it. And the AMD was a huge host for DreamHack, I think, one of the major ones. Because I even have, like, a video of, like, their really pretty rainbow-colored spiral video cards or fans. And they were just littered all over the place. It was really fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you pull that up?
Because I don't know if you wanted to show that or not.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess. Oh, are you done with your part?
Yeah.
Okay. So then my part in DreamHack was Jimmy signed us up to have this luncheon for streamers to meet with brands. And never heard of this, but he knew the guy that ran it. What's his name?
Snoopy. If you are familiar with League of Legends, you should know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty famous player. But after kind of retirement,
I know, right?
Retirement from professionally playing games. He's been more involved on the business side of esports and gaming. He was at Facebook for a while, helping them get Facebook gaming up and running.
Oh.
And now he started this company with some other people, basically to connect streamers with brands.
Mm-hmm. So it's called Pipeline Connect. And it was a luncheon at the steakhouse right down the hall from Morton Steakhouse, right by outside Anaheim.
That was quite the lunch, by the way. Holy smokes.
But you signed up for this luncheon. We were able to go to it. And it was a really cool luncheon. And they made a joke that it was like speed dating, but not. And that
it really was.
There was like 7 or 10 different brands that were there. Let's see.
NZXT, CLX,
Gaming,
Intel, Razer, Corsair, iBuyPower, and CyberPower PC.
Yeah, so they were all there, and so they had like a small room, and they had us all sitting at different tables. We got to sit wherever we wanted, mm-hmm. but then the industry people rotated.
Yeah.
And so they went and talked to us. Like the first two that we had CLX there the whole time, which was great. We had Intel that we talked to.
Razer
we talked to.
Pipeline
Connect. Yeah, we got to talk to
Snoopy.
Was his name Kyle or something?
I can't remember his
His friend was Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, his friend that was helping him write it was Kyle. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk to them and kind of like just geek out, which was really fun. And at the very end, they were like, oh, Steven.
Steven, okay. Yeah.
And we were able to talk to them. And at the end, they were like, hey, we want to get some interviews of people that were here at the interview or the Connect thing. We have a videographer here. And they were doing like B-roll, I guess. Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Of us just having lunch and like eating and laughing and stuff. And so we actually stayed towards the end and did some interview questions.
Yeah.
And they put this really cool, like, 1 minute long video of Pipeline Connect. And we're on it.
Yeah. So we're going to show it real quick. Yeah,
it's only a minute.
Very quick. And yeah.
Yeah. So that was, are we live now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
on. So that was the Pipeline Connect. We got to sit through and you had a really good answer of like what this event was like.
Yeah.
And I was like impressed with my answers were nothing. I introduced it. But yeah, and how it was really cool that it was a chance for streamers to sit and have a conversation with reps of these industries. That's more than just a message.
Oh yeah.
And like a hope. And it was really cool because a lot of them had said, we want to be with you at the beginning and grow with you, not have like this crazy, you know, ninja level streamer and get billions of dollars because they're not about that. Like CLX talked a lot about how he wanted to help streamers build up their rigs because then he gets brand loyalty with them. They love him. Yeah. And then, you know, they rep that and like selling 5 computers for like a year goal was like an average goal. You didn't need to tell them, I'm going to sell you 50 computers in a month. Like it was just realistic.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. And we talked so much about like World of Warcraft back in the day.
And like yeah, old video games. It was very interesting because George at CLX was in those groups back in the day hitting High Warlord rank 14. And we're talking about how that's happening now again with Classic and talking about the time commitment for all that and how funny it is. And how much it is.
And it was also nice to see, like, all the reps from the companies, like, Intel especially.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Being nerds. Like, oh, I remember that back in the day and having to read.
I know. And it was nice because it was very different from a traditional industry party where everyone's kind of, like,
a little tipsy.
Loud. Not necessarily tipsy, but just, like, in that, like, zone of and not being, like, I don't know, themselves necessarily.
Well, and also they're in their own cliques because a lot of these industry people are friends of themselves. And so they would talk to their own friends. And so to be a streamer, like, you don't know who's who.
Yeah.
And it was really nice because, like, they moved every, what, like, 20 minutes? Like, every course.
Yeah.
The industry people moved around.
Every course they moved around.
So. And so it was really nice to see Pipeline Connect kind of filling this void that we didn't even know we had and make it personable. So I would love to go to more of their events at any convention you go to.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. And I think we get a membership into Pipeline Connect, too, don't we?
We'll check that out.
Yeah, it's good. Kind of excited about it.
But back in Week in Geek, I didn't talk about this, but Miguel, we finally beat Nazoth normal. Mm. And that cinematic is actually significantly better in-game.
Is it?
Because, like, the second you kill Nazoth, it instantly kicks into that cinematic, and you're the centerpiece of it. So it's really cool. And I have to say, it's much better than just watching on a stream. Like, actually accomplishing that is cool. And then we beat Rathion Heroic. That was fun. And I've been grinding comp in Overwatch.
Cool.
But you've been playing some Overwatch.
I did. So I played a little bit of Snack World on my Switch because it's a dungeon crawler and go kill a few things. But I actually got, like, sucked into WoW for, like, a few nights. Not WoW. I'm sorry. Overwatch. And I'm so used to saying WoW. I got sucked into Overwatch, and I actually got, like, several levels. I'm now level 20, which is, like, really big for me. What level are you?
400-something.
Jesus Christ. So I'm 20, but I got the Ash skin, the Mardi Gras Ash skin.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's so cool.
I haven't even gotten that yet.
I did.
I'm impressed. That's awesome. I'm
impressive. I also stayed up way too late playing. But then I also like Sigma.
Yeah, Sigma's really cool.
There was a lot of times in Quick Play where it's like you get credits if you play a tank.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's Sigma? I'll try him. And I'm like, oh, I can like throw my shield. And oh, it's so nice. So
speaking of staying up late, I stayed up late last night because I was about to go to bed. And then I checked Twitter, which is always a mistake. in the Final Fantasy VII remaster demo came out. So I was like, okay, I have to play that. And so I downloaded that, played that, and I am really looking forward to that game.
Good for you.
You like Final Fantasy VII.
I never finished it.
I know, but this will be Final Fantasy VII, but prettier.
Okay. I'll watch someone play it.
Yep. All right, but let's get into the news. Thank you to you just now joining us. We're actually just getting started with the news of the week for Blizzard stuff. One of the bigger ones we kind of missed was apparently a Diablo and Overwatch anime has been kind of confirmed through an employee's LinkedIn profile, which is which seems to be the
source
key for lots of leaks of video game projects,
but even movie projects too.
Industry,
yeah, because they're so eager to like share
any industry rep. Stuff for yeah. sure. Yeah,
So we missed that like 2 weeks ago.
That isn't a huge surprise. The Diablo anime has been rumored for, I don't know how long now.
Wasn't there
2 or 3 years now?
Like a live action Diablo or something?
No.
On Netflix?
Wasn't that anime? It was going to be animated.
Okay.
So this might be the same thing. Mm. We're just now hearing about it.
Officially.
Yeah.
An Overwatch anime, come on. Like, yes.
All I hope is that they're similar to Castlevania. Not necessarily how dark and gory there. Well, for Diablo, yes. Mm. But just for like how stylized it is and how well done they are.
Yeah.
That's all I ask, Blizzard, please.
And it's a way to get the story arc between all the characters and everything that we didn't get with the first person shooter.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that.
Yeah, more story is always good. Mm-hmm. And a Diablo series makes total sense. It'll probably release like 6 months before Diablo 4 comes out, I would imagine.
Ooh, that'd
and
be
kind
nice.
Of lead into Diablo 4's release.
Would you say soon?
No, not soon.
Not soon.
Be patient.
Like, not at all soon.
Be patient.
Yeah.
The other big news that kind of broke only a couple hours ago, probably.
A few days ago.
A few days ago? Okay. I thought it was a couple hours.
No, I told you a couple hours ago.
You told me a couple hours ago. Because I can't keep up with every single person on social media. But Michelle Morrow announced that she is stepping away from hosting BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. She wants to attend as a fan. And says she's excited to attend as a fan of Blizzard. Yeah.
And kind of go back to where it all started.
Go back where it all started. I'm excited for her because every time I saw her at the show, she's always working.
Running.
And I'm like, you don't even get to enjoy the show at that point.
Yeah, it was. She got to like work all the weeks before BlizzCon. And then BlizzCon is just crazy. And then we would see her like at the end of it and she's just like exhausted. And
she would spend like an hour in the Hilton and be like, I'm done. See ya.
Hi to my friends.
Hi, bye.
Yeah. So, you know, good for her.
No, and, I'm glad for her.
She's taking a break and that's totally fine.
I think it'll be good because it'll let someone else kind of step up.
Yeah.
And be that host.
Yeah.
Anna Prosser?
Why not? Yeah. They have a good little group of people that they could easily pull.
Yeah. No, they have a lot of people they can pull from. But getting into game specific news, WoW had a relatively light news week considering how things have been. We're kind of hitting that post 8.3 lull a little bit. There were some hot fixes that rolled out today, mostly with N'Zoth. These are March 2nd hot fixes. My favorite thing is that Prophet Skitra now only has 2 intermission phases instead of 4.
So is that a bug?
Fight will be, yes.
Ew.
So this fight will be much less obnoxious. Also, the debuff effect scales up, which makes sense because you're only having two intermission phases now. Couple other changes to some other mosses, too. Rodan, the Void Collapse cast time got increased, and reducing the damage of it. So, I don't know. That might be just a wash.
It's a wash over my head.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
You were literally like
I know.
Oh, wow. As you were reading the notes earlier.
The currency limit for coalescing visions has been removed. Thank goodness. Get rid of that cap. Why are there caps on all this currency crap? Like, just get rid of it.
Economies. I know.
But it's not like, whatever. Yeah.
Is this when you go into like the nightmare?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Forgetting all that stuff.
For your cloak, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cache will now award 12,500 coalescing visions instead of the Vessel of Horrific Visions and 2,500 coalescing visions. That makes sense as we're getting further and further into 8.3 and people are not needing to level up the cloak as much. So you can spend those on the cosmetics, hopefully. Can I get that backpack?
Backpack.
That's how you get the backpack.
But yeah. So there's no cap on the money to get the backpack.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so now I need to play.
Yes.
Okay.
Need to play about a month ago, but to start getting that, the currency.
That's a guideline.
I need to play. Probably one of the more quality of life changes is they added a portal to exit the pools of power after defeating Virax in the Vale of Eternal Blossoms, You don't have to fly all the way back to turn it in. It's nice.
I heard about that.
So, yeah. Nice quality of life fixes for WoW.
And raiding, right?
Yeah. And raiding. And Blizzard actually released a really interesting guide on getting your legendary cloak. So, for those of you that are behind on 8.3.
You mean strategically
and don't have the cloak yet.
I'm just fashionably late. It's fine. That's a pun.
But the cloak is required for doing the visions and also doing Nazoth at the end of Nyalotha.
Doing Nazoth. You said it.
Fighting. Me. Whatever. You're the one taking it there.
I am.
But yeah. Go check out that guide if you somehow are playing 8.3 and don't have your cloak or haven't played 8.3 yet.
Did they reference even going to Wowhead for a guide if you go to the bottom of that? Yeah, they even said WoWhead is a complete guide
For all the other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's useful.
WoWhead's always going to be the default to go to.
Always.
They always have the good stuff.
Give them the credit for that one.
Yeah. The other big thing was that Arena World Championship and Mythic Dungeon International 2020 signups are now open. And this is really kind of in the nitty-gritty of everything. But I think almost every region in state can now compete in World of Warcraft esports.
Did you just pull up the legal agreement?
Yes. Because it used to be that you couldn't, if you were part of, if you lived in like Quebec or Arizona, like they had some weird like
rules,
gambling laws or something that made you ineligible. But they somehow have figured that out. And it Croatia. Looks like pretty much everyone, at least in North America, is okay to go. I mean, I'm looking at the regional eligibility. If you want to look at this, there's official rules under 3.2.
Macau. There's countries I don't even know existed.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of great countries here. So I think it's really good. We need to get as many people playing Arena. As possible just to build out that player pool.
So what if they wanted to play? Could they have registered, like back in the day, could they have registered like in another country?
You have to establish residency there, though.
Oh, wow, that's strict. Yeah. Unlike Overwatch League, where you're like, hey, I'm on the, you know, Shanghai Dragons team and not live there, but really.
That's a little different, though. That's way different.
Yeah.
Because this is, the regions are split up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have North America and you have to be. You have to. So the rule, the legal ruling, is at least three of your five players have to be legal residents of that country.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's good, though, that they opened it up more.
No, it's really good. Warcraft 3, all we really have is DreamHack 2020 results.
Oh, yeah. Wait, there was eSports at DreamHack.
There was eSports at DreamHack. There was like 50,000 eSports at DreamHack. Like, I'm not even joking.
It was a lot.
It was so much eSports.
It took us 2 days to kind of, like,
to kind of settle in.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to sit you down and have you watch some CSGO, which was kind of fun.
A whole 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We literally sat down and, like, how long do we have? And
he's like, to be fair, it was like right at the end of a match.
But you're like, oh yeah, there's like
which 15, is the most exciting part of CS:GO.
15 rounds. I'm like, oh my god, we're gonna be here forever. And you're like, oh no, it's almost over.
Yeah, the rounds are like 2 minutes.
Three rounds, and it was done.
Yep.
And then everyone just left.
Yeah, like, wow, for sure. But yeah, back to Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Which they had top they had four. It there.
Yeah, they had it in a small area
in the back, and it was kind of nice. Like, it was like a little secluded and dark, and they had like cool like lights going around. And it was by itself and dark.
First place was Moon, who is a Night Elf player from Korea. If you're familiar with Warcraft 3 esports at all, and you don't know who Moon is, I don't know what rock you've been living under, but he's probably one of the best players in the world. Second was Focus, an Orc player from Korea. $3,500, $7,500 for first place. And fourth place was Foggy, a Night Elf player from Ukraine, and Happy, an Undead player from Russia. I don't know if any of the Chinese players made it out to DreamHack. I would imagine not because of the coronavirus
stuff. Oh, yeah, that just started.
Because they have a really robust, scene for Warcraft 3. Like, They're the region that has kind of kept the Warcraft 3 esports scene going.
Yeah.
And I've talked many times about how Grubby, anytime he goes to China, it's like chaotic because he has...
Grubby was one of the announcers,
yes.
Right? Okay. The one that you met in that line that one time
at BlizzCon? Okay. Yes. The one who proposed to his girlfriend at BlizzCon, like 2010 or something nerds. Like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's all the Warcraft 3 news. Hopefully we get some patch stuff soon.
It just started too, right? Warcraft
3. Yeah, this was the first esports event for Warcraft 3 Reforged, so we got to kind of see how that came out.
We got to meet, what's that woman's name? Sarah Lynn?
Yeah, we bumped into Sarah Lynn at DreamHack. She's the one who heads up oversees all of BlizzCon, basically.
Yeah, she is
literally her job is BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So,
and it was so funny because you bumped into her. You're like, hey, blah, blah. And I'm like, who is she? Why does she look familiar? And then halfway through the conversation, I'm like, oh, I know who she is.
Yeah,
and I'm like a little starstruck. And I'm like, I had to play it cool.
Yeah.
But it was neat to see her because we had just checked out the Warcraft 3 section of DreamHack. And then we see her. And we're like, oh, this is cute. This is quaint. It's different than BlizzCon.
It's funny because I probably wouldn't have approached her on her own, but because... someone I had worked with at BlizzCon, Anya, was there.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
She was super cool.
And then there was Hearthstone, too. But
Hearthstone?
Go that later?
I didn't see any results for it. It wasn't a major or anything. It was kind of just a minor tournament there.
It was very small.
It was small. And it definitely felt like
last minute?
The early days of esports.
Oh, that's nice. That is a good way to say it.
Very community-driven.
Very small, very not official
looking. It was very confusing because I walked through and I see the screen with Hearthstone playing.
It's a projection. It's not even a screen.
It's a screen.
Okay.
I'm like watching it and I'm like, I can't hear the casters. Why can't I hear the casters?
Nope.
I look to the left. Oh, that's where they are.
Yeah. Right,
they're right there. I understand why you don't want to have the casters. Sound then, over the speakers there.
And guess where the players were?
Right next to the casters.
Beside a pillar. Like a big stone
pillar. Oh my gosh.
Pillar.
It was interesting.
Like I walked through it and I'm like, why is there a big empty space in the middle of this hall? Like I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, there's Hearthstone.
And it was just funny because I looked over, I'm like, oh, there's all these Hearthstone pros that I know who they all are.
Oh, were they even there?
Yeah, there were a couple there. But yeah, DreamHack was interesting to say the least for Blizzard properties.
It left to be desired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because especially we're so
I thought
spoiled.
Warcraft 3 was pretty good.
It was good in its corner. They put Baby in a corner and it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, this is its first event in the States in since what?
Oh, God.
BlizzCon 2009, 2008?
Was that 2007? We started just
That was 2007. Yeah. Was that the last Warcraft 3?
I think so. Bunny BlizzCon? Fawn was casting.
Yeah.
And Andrew was here for yeah. it.
Yeah. So. Anyways. Yeah. All right. Let's stop reminiscing of the past, because there's actually a pretty decent amount of Overwatch stuff to get through.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Overwatch League, there is a lot to catch up on. Last we left you, the week 5 through 7 games, which start this upcoming weekend, were moved to South Korea. And now, because coronavirus has expanded to South Korea and has been pretty bad in spreading over there, those games are now canceled. They haven't announced anything as far as rescheduling those games. And what's interesting is this really affects the Pacific Division.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the teams in the Pacific have played 2 games or less. 5 of them haven't played at all in the 2020 season. This includes the Chengdu Hunters, Hangzhou Spark, Guangzhou Charge, Shanghai Dragons, and Seoul Dynasty.
Ouch.
And the other teams that have played 2 or less games and we're in week 4,
mm-hmm.
LA Gladiators, Dallas Fuel, Vancouver Titans, San Francisco Shock, Atlanta Reign, and LA Valiant. So.
And we were driving home on Sunday night from Dreamhack, and you literally, you were like, oh my God. And I was like, what happened? I'm like, you had to tell me what you just read.
Because it's a huge deal. When you're at a convention, there's times, even though I'm... I get a lot of alerts on my phone,
yeah.
which I need to pare down. 2020 goals.
Oh, God, never.
But, like, I had no idea that the virus had spread to Korea badly.
We literally Googled coronavirus and we're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where, like, is this going to be one of those, like, life history things?
Yeah, it'll be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention this story just because... It was something I wanted to talk about, but obviously it's kind of a moot point at this point. But Seoul Dynasty had announced that they were going to donate 100% of its March homestand proceeds to support the victims of coronavirus.
That was 13 days ago.
Yes, this was 13 days ago. This was before those games got canceled.
Oh, no.
So I'm assuming they're refunding everyone who bought tickets to that. Yeah. I don't know any details about that.
So they haven't talked about what they're going to do, like recasting them or
something? Not yet. I imagine they're going to have to play some of these games remotely. Like, they're not going to be able to put all of them in front of an audience.
Especially when there's a time crunch at the end of all this.
Or they put everyone back in L.A.
I would not be against it.
No.
They would be. And contracts.
Yeah.
That's another fun thing.
No, and it's not just Blizzard that's being affected by this. Yeah, Riot too. Has done a lot of stuff for their esports. IEM this last weekend for StarCraft, Intel Extreme Masters.
Okay.
That's put on by ESL. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are running the StarCraft II tournament. That was played not in front of an audience. The entire IEM. This past weekend was played on the stages, but the government of Poland was like, you can't have people attend this.
Wow.
So it was very interesting. It was, if you ever wanted to experience what I got to experience at BlizzCon 2015, where I was watching StarCraft in a sound stage with no audience, you kind of got to see that.
But you were working that BlizzCon.
Yeah.
You were
I was working.
The stage. Yeah. So there was no chance for an audience.
Yeah.
So I have a question. And you watch sports.
Yes.
Has this affected sports?
Not that I know of yet. Okay. I haven't heard anything.
Because is there any, like... Most of the sports we watch are in the U.S.
They're all U.S.-based.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would imagine if they are affected, it would be in the next couple weeks.
Oh, man.
Not to get too political.
Get paranoid, yeah.
But, like... Testing is ramping up in the U.S., and there are going to be a lot more cases found out.
Yeah.
I mean, don't panic, but also don't, like, ignore it.
Be alert.
What was it John Oliver said last night?
Oh, be conscientious or something? Concerned.
Be concerned, but don't be freaking an out. Idiot.
Yes, don't be an idiot, but be concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
That tangent.
Wow. So they still haven't announced anything yet.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel for the Overwatch League team and having to figure this out because they already delayed all the China games.
Oh, and they just changed a lot of the meta in the game, didn't they? Didn't they do the hero cancellation or something?
That was coming up.
Oh, sorry.
Bury the lead, why don't you?
I'm trying to transition.
Jeez. No, but week four happened this last weekend, and this is our last weekend without the hero bands. New York beat Florida 3-0, Atlanta 3-0, Toronto, London squeaked out a win 3-2 against Houston, Philadelphia 3-0'd Boston.
Did I watch that with you?
Was
that the sad one?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Probably.
Yeah.
Boston's just awful this season.
They struggled.
Paris 3-1 Atlanta, which was probably the biggest upset of the weekend because everyone, including myself, had Atlanta like top five this season, and Paris was kind of towards the bottom of the power rankings.
The chickens?
Yes, the chickens. And yeah, they showed up strong and really beat Atlanta. London 3-2'd Florida, and then Houston got their first win of the season finally with a 3-1 victory over Toronto. So Toronto doesn't look as strong as I thought they were going to this season.
Were they there? Were they a team last year?
They were a team last year. They were one of the expansion teams from last year. Mm. One of the teams added.
They're just warming up. It'll be fine.
They have a whole new roster. Yeah. So they're still getting adjusted. Yeah. But that brings us to our hero bands, which are finally coming in with week five. And we are going to see McCree, Widowmaker, Reinhardt, and Moria unavailable to be picked up. I think the Reinhardt one is going to be very interesting indeed.
Sigma.
I think we will we will see some Sigma play in week five.
Yeah.
Because shields are so powerful, even though they've gotten adjusted down so that they break a lot faster.
They got nerfed.
They did get nerfed. I don't like using that word, though.
Why?
I don't know. It has such a negative connotation to it.
I think it's fine.
Oh, that's fine. But just a reminder of how the hero bands work. Heroes are randomly selected from a group of eligible heroes based on the play rate data from the previous 2 weeks of matches. Only heroes that are being played regularly, which means 10% or more, can be pulled out of the hero pool rotation, and no hero will be unavailable 2 weeks in a row.
No, Widowmaker will be interesting.
Yeah.
What's another sniper class? Anna?
Anna? Not really. She's more of support.
Yeah.
But Hondo's the other one. Ash, kind of to a degree.
Oh, yeah.
With her right click.
It's so cool.
In May, too. Unfortunately, May's still here. I'd like to see her banned out one of these weeks. That would be awesome.
I was like, wow, you don't like May.
I don't, because she's such a pain in the butt to play against. Like, I could go on for a long time about how frustrating May is to play against. But yeah, I'm actually really excited to see week five games because I want to see how this hero band stuff pans out.
Well, even the players were excited about this idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I think it'll be really good for the game. Especially on the spectator side, so we could see a lot more variety in play.
I feel so bad for the teams that haven't played because of this whole stuff, because it's like they had plans.
Yeah.
And then they weren't able to do those strategies. And
no.
Oh, man. Hopefully they figure something out.
Yeah, they will. But we do have coming up this week, Washington Justice hosting their second of five homestands of 2020. We're going to have Toronto and Florida, Paris versus Houston, Boston versus Washington. And then on Sunday, Paris versus Philadelphia, New York versus Washington, and Boston versus Atlanta. I think part of the problem of the scheduling problems with this coronavirus is we're seeing all the same teams play each other every week now.
What does it mean, homestand?
That's who's hosting it. So the games are all in Washington, D.C.
Oh, for this week.
Yeah, for this upcoming week. So, yeah, we'll see how those games go. I'm excited to check them out. I'm happy because all the games have been in the U.S. and they've been at good times for me to watch.
I want to see my Gladiators.
I know. I want to see the Valiant again because they looked promising this year. better than I thought they were going to look.
Oh, man, oh, man.
Yeah. But let's talk about now the biggest news of the week for Diablo fans.
Would you say 25% bigger?
Sure.
Because it's a quarterly. This is why I'm here.
I hate it. No, but yeah, the big thing is we finally got the quarterly update from the Diablo team.
Is this the first quarterly official?
This is the first quarterly update. I guess we won't count BlizzCon as a quarterly update. Sure.
Announcement of the start of.
Yeah, the start of announcements. But yeah, I'm super excited about this. There is a whole lot of stuff in here. We're going to try to break it down as best as possible. Yeah, no, I actually wrote notes for this.
Good job.
Which aren't up on the screen right now. Oh. There we go. I fixed it.
Okay.
But the big first thing was a lot of the UI designs and controller support and co-op stuff. Players can now, or actually, we'll start with the inventory stuff, which try to go in chronological order of how
you can go to Blizzard.com and get all this.
Yeah, Blizzard.com has the entire blog post. You can read all the nitty-gritty about it. They updated a lot of the item icons in their style. It's very subtle, but very pretty. And they're trying to make it much more natural as far as the textures and realistic and how they look.
I'm loving those
textures. Excited for that.
I can, like, touch that, like, fur.
And faux fur. Everyone will be happy. They've toned down the brightness on all the icons so they're not so
glaring.
Face. Yeah. And more in line with that Diablo darkness feel.
This is like the level of nerdiness that they had at BlizzCon was like, we have weather textures or weather things. And I'm like, that's not exciting for us, but it is for you. So good job.
These are like the small things I really appreciate. And what makes me really fascinated with user experience is just that they move the inventory screen from the right side of the character sheet to the bottom. It just, it flows better for me in my eyes for some reason. So this used to be over here.
I know that one.
And yeah, it got moved down. And I know some people, apparently people complained about this, that all the items take up the same amount of space in the equipment stash. I'm totally fine with that. I don't want to play inventory Tetris.
No.
So I'm okay with that.
As long as
people complain about that, you're allowed to complain about that, but it's not changing. Blizzard actually said that it's not changing. So they're going to be 1-to-1, just like
Would you still have the same number of slots? Or I guess it was all relative because of the size difference.
Yeah. So this makes it a lot easier to mentally manage in my head. Rather than being like, oh, that sword takes up 2 slots. Do I have enough room for it?
Yes, I never got that deep into gear, so I never had that issue. I just kind of sold her.
What's up?
What's the word that you make it resources? Disenchanting? No. In Diablo, when you like.
It's like disenchanting. Okay. I don't know if that's the exact term, but you break it down into materials.
Yes, there we go.
Probably my favorite thing from this blog post is that they finally let us rebind that left click for the first time ever. So it's not just the primary attack.
Tell me more.
Okay, so what I'm going to most likely rebind this to.
You're so excited.
Right I know. Now. I love this. is the force move. So in Diablo 3, I made my middle mouse button the force move, which basically is like, even if you're clicking on an enemy, you move through them instead of shooting your primary fire. So if you're just wanting to move through an area, it's much easier to do that, and you're not, your character isn't just stopping, you have to spam click around it to move it, your character.
Okay, this is useful for like speed running or something, right?
Yeah, well, it's just useful for usability in game in general. I mean, they made it so you can rebind it to whatever the heck you want now.
Okay.
So, I mean...
I have Android, so I love more, rebinding.
More customizing is always a good thing. I'm excited for this. The other big thing is a UI change.
The question.
Yes.
What if you have one of those fancy mices that has like those little like numbers, like 1, 2, 3, 4 on the side of it?
You can rebind that. Yeah, you can rebind it for whatever you want.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on board now.
The big UI thing they talked about, though, in this blog update, quarterly update, was the action bar. They are moving it to default to the left corner of the screen. I'm excited for this. It frees up more space for you to see and be able to move around and all that.
Complained about this in Warcraft 3, so okay. I'm okay all right. with that.
So look at this animation. Yeah. Those of you watching on YouTube or Twitch can see this. But they put this animation just to show how your eyes move around with this move placement. Yeah.
Well, where's the animation for when it's in the center and your eye movement there, huh? Huh? Why can't you compare?
Well, they're doing this to show that why they're making the decision to move it to default on the left side. And the interesting thing.
Oh my gosh, they got technical.
Yes. No. This is UX. This is very technical. Well, not very, there's but like a technical face enough.
And his screen.
So there's a diagram of the television viewing distance reduces movement required by your eyes between the center and the corner, and so. The bigger the screen is and the further back you are, the more they saw that people preferred the bottom left placement.
Watching
of the
on
UI.
TV.
Yeah.
But then watching on a monitor, like sitting where we are on uh-huh. your desk.
Yeah.
They prefer the center and corner.
Yeah, because it's much shorter distance between the center and where your character is versus this.
I feel like that. Wait. So you're happy it's going to be on the bottom left.
That's how I will like it, okay. I think.
Now you have a choice to change this, correct?
Yes. You okay. can change between the two.
Okay.
Which is good.
It's more options.
Yeah.
And also depending on how your rig is set up on your computer, if you have like multiple monitors or something, you can definitely move around as such.
Yeah, I think especially on widescreen support, which I think they had at BlizzCon. It was in, wasn't it in the center at BlizzCon?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I don't remember it being different.
But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for this because I know I'm gonna get some flack for this. But I really like Diablo 3 on a controller. Like, I just love the way the game feels on a controller. But basically why I'm saying that is because they did announce through the quarterly update that they're supporting controllers on PC. And it looks like the UI will be flexible towards that.
So you're saying you want to play this on your PC with the Microsoft controller?
Not necessarily Microsoft, or Xbox, but a whatever. Controller, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm excited for this.
Okay.
I know some people prefer keyboard and mouse, which is fine.
Well, PC
that's good.
Master Race, you know. Still on a PC, so I guess it's okay. I just love teasing you. No, it's nice that you get the flexibility. Especially on a PC, you should have that flexibility.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like
sure.
it's stuck in a console.
And the other big thing is for console players, Couch Co-op, they're fixing a lot of the problems with
the
UI.
Is that really the name? Couch Co-op?
Couch Co-op, yeah. We've actually never played this because we have our own Switches, so we just play on our own systems. But apparently when you bring up the inventory system in Diablo 3, it forces everyone to open their inventory system at once.
That's not fun.
And this, they're improving it so you can both be looking at different things at once at the same time. So, I mean, it's
on one
still,
TV.
Yeah,
on
one
TV.
On
one screen or on Switch. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
So I'm excited for that. I'm happy for that. And then talking a bit about monster families in design. This is a new monster type that they're bringing
manual?
Into
oh, this looks cool. Well, that's creepy.
Yeah, so these are the cannibals.
Now is there audio with this? We should it.
Yeah, it's I don't think it's anything.
That's
I think
so
it's
creepy.
Just music.
People. Ew.
So yeah, I just love this design. I mean, it's very gritty. And
like all the bones
violent.
On the floor.
and harsh.
They're such messy eaters. Oh, that's so gross. Those look like D&D minis.
They kind of do. But, I mean, what they're talking about when they're talking about families is specific tribes of enemies that are going to all act similarly. I mean, this is just paying around. It's nothing too crazy.
There's like a biology phrase for that.
Yeah.
Like a species or... Yeah, I can't remember the word. But no, that's exciting. So they're coming up with a whole new thing.
Yeah, this is a whole cannibals. New one for this. Yeah.
That looks horrifying.
But the cultist family? What's that? This is the cultist family. This is another family into the game. The Drowned family, which is like...
Oh, that's what we played at BlizzCon.
Water-based kind of they're so enemies. Creepy. Yeah.
And so they were all bloated too, because like the water absorbed.
And so what they really kind of tried to drive home is what the goal is with making these family types is trying to make it so that the gameplay is dynamic between the different kinds. They were talking about how they're going to try to make it so that the AI is much better about like blocking your movement from going after their.
Healer?
They're either the healer or the ranged attack minions. We'll see. We'll see how much that really ends up happening in the grand scheme of things. Because the way just action RPGs operate in general is people figure out the game and reach a point where it's just like super quick and you just blow through stuff and none of this stuff really matters. But there's a whole bunch of lore stuff about the cannibals in this blog post. That I definitely recommend checking out if you're interested in the lore of Diablo, which is really cool.
God, so gross.
So yeah, I mean, that's a better picture of them up on screen. But
and I love, like, if you go back to the blog post, even just like this, the few paragraphs, corpses riddled with bite marks, splintered bones scraped clean of marrow. Just like that is
the
so
description
visually
is so good and terrifying.
Yeah. Tongues sawed off and eyes gouged out of their skulls. Like, that is an amazing sentence of, ugh.
And that just tells you how brutal the cannibals are. Oh, so man. They're a serious, serious foe.
And I'm excited. Like, I hope they do more books. Like, I haven't read the other books, but I hope they do, like, tons of cool lore stuff with Diablo.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely, like, they talked a lot at BlizzCon about the whole library of Diablo and, like, filling in a lot of those. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting.
So they talked about breaking down the cannibals have four family members that each have their own unique weapon and a significantly different silhouette or stance to help differentiate them from one another. Silhouettes has always been something Blizzard has talked about constantly as far as communicating what you're fighting against or who you're fighting against kind of across all their games. This is one thing that they've kind of really drilled into their designers' philosophy. Which I find really fascinating.
Well, because they have this like wealth of options they can pick from.
Oh, look at this screenshot. Look at how brutal that is.
Like literally like Spartan being kicked off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
But like, oh,
look at how huge that one is. Which one?
The weapon. Like the sword with the pick at it. It looks like something else I've seen like in games. I forget what it is.
It makes me think of the swords from Lord of the Rings that the orcs have.
Yes,
that they craft.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're like fantasy or something. Let's see.
Yeah, but what's interesting is
no ranged units.
Yeah, no ranged units for the cannibal family.
Yeah, they're just running. It's so funny when you say family.
Yeah.
It's like I literally think like the
it's so
bunch
funny
of cannibals.
To call it family.
Yeah.
But
Marsha.
I mean, that's really the big news of.
That's so exciting.
But, the biggest news of Diablo 4.
And how many months has that been? November, December, January, February. 3 months? Yeah. It's a quarterly update.
November, December, January, February.
March 2nd.
So 4 months.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good amount of time, I feel like, from announcement to
and that was
more details.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we pretty much grazed over the surface of that. If you're more interested, definitely check out the blog post. Or also check out Riker's video where he breaks this down. Or check out Westmarch Workshop where they break that down.
From Blizzard.
Yeah. The other big Diablo news is that season 20 is coming March 13th. It is just around the corner. I'm excited for this. The new season theme. We've already talked about this before, but I'm really interested to see what people come up with, being able to put whatever you want into the Kanai's Cube. So traditionally, you could put one weapon power, one jewelry power, and one armor power. But now you can put any combination of each. So say you wanted to go ultra powerful, you put three weapon types in there, and you can run that.
Is there a heart power and an earth power?
There is.
And a captain power?
Yeah.
You get my joke?
Yes, okay, I do. But checking out some of the rewards, there are,
no, scroll up. We got to talk about this. What the heck is coming out of that chick?
The wizard?
Is not, yeah, that, no, that, that's.
There always has to be wings for.
That's not a wing.
It's tech, like, it's like considered a wing.
It's considered a wing.
That's what's considered.
She's like a spider.
Yeah. Blech. And then the portrait in pet from. From this.
That's a pet?
Yeah. It'll go pick
it's
up
like
your gold for you.
It's like a worgen with wings.
It kind of is.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And it picks up gold for you?
Yeah.
That's useful. Oh, it's so creepy. I love these pictures, though.
But yeah.
And the monk looks amazing.
Monk looks fantastic.
Yep.
But yeah.
On this is the one that we're basically all their faces are covered. I remember looking up this last time we were recording.
Yeah. Season 20 is coming.
For Diablo 3.
All sorts of stuff. Check out the detailed notes if you're curious about what's all coming and changing. Because there's a lot of changes. I'm excited. But moving on to
a game we haven't talked about.
My
a lot
favorite
of.
RTS yeah. of all time. we talked about StarCraft Remastered getting a new season of maps. StarCraft 2 will be getting their first season of maps for 2020.
That's exciting.
And there's a lot of really cool looking maps.
Everdream LE.
Yeah. Everdream LE looks
like I want cool. these as wallpapers for my computer.
So, pop quiz. Uh-oh. I'm curious if you know. What do you think LE stands for? Think of where these maps are going. What's competitive StarCraft. It's a ladder edition.
Oh, no way was I ever going to get that. I'm thinking like limited edition is where I was going. Ladder edition?
Yeah, because they're maps that are made specifically for the ladder, so they have to be completely symmetrical. And so everything, everyone, advantage. there's no like perceived advantage or even real advantage.
I just saw pretty pink flowers and I was a fan of it.
Yeah. I mean, look at how pretty that is.
It's so pretty. It's like cherry blossom.
It is like cherry blossoms. But yeah, there are seven new maps for each type.
Oh my god, I just think of like Animal Crossing.
No, this makes me think of I'm not going to think of the name of it, but one of the original StarCraft 2 maps. Yeah. But yeah, there's all sorts of good stuff.
Click.
We can take a look at all this. Ooh, I like the
red stuff.
The red stuff. Yeah, what is that? I do like when they do this where it's symmetrical, but the tile sets are different. So we have a dark and light.
Here's the story with
the Diablo one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are new team maps as well. So 2v2, Arctic Dream, and 3v3, Sentinel.
Ooh, that's pretty.
And then 4v4.
It's like Nick Grand.
It kind of is. But yeah, there are seven new pool or maps for each type. 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, and 4v4. And as always, you get a free name change if that is something you're interested in. Log into the game and change your name. They do this every season.
Okay.
So I could be... something DJ. Else. Something else.
Not Tyrant.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, man.
So wait, so those are coming out for this season.
For this upcoming season. I don't know when the season comes out.
Have they even announced when the season's starting?
Let me do a Googling really quick.
Because then, like, has StarCraft 2 started?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been...
Because this came out, like...
always going.
Early, mid-February.
Mm-hmm.
Started on the 17th.
Let's see. I think 10th of March?
Is when it starts.
Is when it starts.
Okay. So now, okay, now if you're a StarCraft player, do you have time to prep for all this? Or is it just like, oh, shoot. We gotta do stuff.
Well, I mean, you can go in and play these in the game right now and kind of practice.
But then you only got like...
learning them. You only got a week, yeah. Oh. But that's pretty standard
for StarCraft. Were they expecting new maps?
Yeah, new maps come out every season.
Oh, okay.
Just to keep things fresh. Like, so a little history lesson on StarCraft. So back in Brood War, when Blizzard wasn't really actively updating the game with balance patches, the way the community kind of balanced the game was through maps, where they made maps where Protoss was a little bit stronger. Because for the longest time, Zerg was the top dog in competitive Brood War.
Yeah.
And then they made these maps that they weren't like overtly advantageous to Protoss, but they gave Protoss kind of avenues to
shine
different. Yeah. To shine and have different strategies, from normal. So,
okay.
Yeah. That's how you can keep the game fresh, even when there are no balance updates, but there are still balance updates for StarCraft 2.
League of Legends doesn't do that.
That's a whole other can of worms. They have like 150 champions that you have to dig through.
I couldn't resist on that.
Oh my gosh, I don't like you.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Digging into Hearthstone though, there was a big update for Battlegrounds this past month.
Oh, man.
And I'm excited for this because this is how you make the auto chess games kind of I'm trying to think of the word vibrant still or
oh is this still... for the auto chess
yes
thing?
for the auto chess thing
that in so long.
Yeah, but I mean this is how you get people to continue playing it and coming back
are
and
these new
constantly changing it. These are all brand new characters.
Okay.
Based on the Year of Dragon, obviously we're getting a lot of dragons. Galakrond, his power is it costs one, but it replaces a minion in Bob's Tavern with a minion from a higher tavern tier. That's going to be a good one to play with.
Where's Galakrond from?
He's the main dragon in the latest expansion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Deathwing, all will burn is a passive where all minions have +3 attack. Oh my gosh. That means... I think that means your enemy has +3 attack too.
Oh no, all minions.
That's interesting.
That is a double sword.
I don't like that. I would avoid picking Deathwing if that were me. Having not played this, just reading that, not my thing. Ysera, Dream Portal, which costs one, refresh and add a dragon to Bob's Tavern. So if you're looking for that dragon family, it'll help you build out that dragon deck. Nostormu, Clairvoyancy is a passive. Your first refresh each turn costs zero. That's really cool. I like that. Malgos, Arcane Alteration, costs zero. Replace a minion with a random one of the same tavern tier. That's a real roll of the dice.
Is it?
Yeah. Because you can get something worse or something better. Mm. But
Alexstrasza comes in.
Yeah. She has the Queen of Dragons passive. After you upgrade Bob's Tavern to Tavern Tier 5, discover two dragons. So
from this list then?
Well, from the minion list. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that really lets you come online late game. Reno Jackson, going to be rich, costs 4. Make a friendly minion golden once per game. Ooh, that is really interesting.
I wanted to do a flexing one.
I know. Well, because golden is the when you combine the three.
Yeah.
So you get an instant one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely see you holding on to this till late game. You get some big legendary, instantly make it gold.
Oh no!
Really could change the game. They also introduced some balance changes. George of the Fallen, the Boon of the Light hero power cost was reduced from 4 to 3. I always felt like that was really expensive. It's the one where you can put a Divine Shield on a minion. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. Sneasel Shredder moved from tier 6 to tier 5. So you just get it a little bit earlier and also see more of them. Mama Bear, the old version of the card was a 4/4 beast. And whenever you summon a beast, give it +4/+4. Now it's 5/5, and it summon when you summon a beast, it you buff it +5/+5. So buffs for that card. I used that card a lot when I was playing, so I'm excited to see that done. Tavern tier 6, the starting cost of Tavern tier 6 has been reduced to 10 gold, down from 11. This will just help pick up the pace of the game.
Yeah.
As people get to late game. And also makes a really interesting decision that you have to make when you hit Tavern tier 6, because now you can immediately go into it rather than having to wait a turn for it to drop down to 10 gold. They removed Professor Putrescide from the hero pool as well, so
but they added
a lot of new yeah, they added seven new heroes.
Yeah, so removing one terrible thing.
No. And for you arena players, starting March 4th, arena cards will include the sets of basic, classic, Goblins versus Gnomes, Witchwood, Savers of Uldum, Descent of Dragons, and Galakrond's Awakening. So, more cards to look forward to in that mode for draft. And then there's also a promotion going on. If you're looking for free packs, this is the time to do it. It's Hearthstone's anniversary, so they're doing this for the, what is it, 6th anniversary now, I want
to
say?
I had to put that in my calendar.
Log in between March 4th at 10 a.m. Pacific to March 17th at 10 a.m. Pacific to receive 2 Rise of the Shadows pack, 2 Saviors of Uldum pack, 2 Dragon Descent of Dragons pack, and the Year of the Dragon card back. And I believe those all go towards, if you are playing Battlegrounds, towards unlocking the extra features.
Do I have to do anything other than log in?
You just have to log in.
Cool, I'm doing that.
And those for those of you listening live, I'm not a huge fan of this, but this is, we're just telling you what Blizzard is doing. They're making Khagdar available again for $10. That's just the new.
But that's only till Wednesday.
Yeah, it's till Wednesday. I don't like how they make it that's so really limited. Short. Yeah. I just don't like these like super limited time things.
Now, were you able to buy him otherwise?
Not when he's not available.
So it's like Disney with their vault.
Kind of. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, I bought him when he was first available, like, years ago.
But, you were on that cool
train. But then they put him in the vault. The Blizzard vault.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah.
I don't know. I just like hearing Khagdar yell at stuff.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. But yeah. Let's get to our favorite part of the show.
My favorite part.
Your favorite part of the show.
You were talking a lot of like technical stuff. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So it's the IRL loot section. So it gives me a chance to window shop any Blizzard stuff when I can. I don't know what you're doing. You're doing some streaming stuff. There we go.
Just so focus on talking.
The first one I always like to go through is the Blizzard Gear Store. It's almost pointless for me to kind of keep track of like, oh, here's a sale code and here's a promotion code. I'm trying to think of the idea that if we do our Facebook group, which I'm manning, a bit better, I can be like, hey, there's a promotion sale. But honestly, if you want the best deals, get on their newsletter, email lists, because a lot of their deals are like for 2 days only, we're doing free shipping or this percentage off. And it's more frequent than we record. I did notice this t-shirt, which is a new D.Va t-shirt, and it's a fan art t-shirt. It's like a light blue Mecha of D.Va t-shirt. Yeah. It says Mecha, Mecha, Mecha. And I guess it's a dance or something like that. Do you know what this signifier means?
It's just her mech.
But I thought I read somewhere that it was like a dance or something for D.Va, like if you're a big D.Va fan or whatever.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either, but it's a light blue t-shirt. Yeah, it's a D.Va song. Right? Yeah. This is Toki, the mecha piloted by the famous Hannah D.Va song.
That's her name.
Oh, is that her name?
Yeah.
D.Va song? S-O-N-G?
Hana Song.
Oh, I didn't know that. Ha, never mind.
I thought you paid attention to lore.
No, not at all. Makes sense. But it's a cool, like, black outline of her mech.
Yeah.
And it's, like, what, $20? So if you love her mech and light blue, sure. And see, another thing I noticed, I don't know if it's new or not, if you go to the next one on Blizzard Gear, are the Haramachi hero magnets. I don't remember seeing these. It's another
set. I don't think I've seen them either.
Because Ash and Bob look so cute.
Ash is fantastic.
And then McCree's little goatee is adorable. He looks like happy and like the evil green of like, it's about
noon. Ash almost looks like the Reddit logo, this new robot logo from Reddit.
Oh, kind of.
Kind of, just a little bit.
And I didn't know they were doing magnet sets of the Parabachis. Like, they're really cute. Like, I could definitely see just, like, getting these and decorating, like, a whiteboard or something.
Oh, yeah. Because
they're adorable.
For sure.
$15 in the Blizzard Gear Store. Free shipping right now if you do orders over $30. So those are two things that I noticed. I went through all the other franchises and didn't really see anything new that I remember. I did want to mention, I go through, like, the typical Blizzard Gear stuff or Blizzard-themed stores online. Hot Topic, I've mentioned for a couple weeks now. Their Overwatch gear, most of it is 20% to 30% to 50% off. So if you just go to Hot Topic and then just type in Overwatch in their search, there's a ton of pop figures, there's some merch, there's journals, there's you name it, they got it. I think they're just doing clearancing because then you go to Box Lunch, which is a very kind of like a sister store of Hot Topic, and their Overwatch merch, if you search there, it says 40% off clearance, like in all caps. So, keyword clearance for a Box Lunch. And then just go between the two, see what other items you have. There's so much Overwatch merch.
Sure.
It's almost like a little daunting. So, we'll see what else they have left. I did check out Jinx, which is a clothing store for a lot of nerdy stuff. And I looked in their Overwatch, and a lot of their jackets, like the hoodie jackets, which are kind of thick jackets, are at a pretty good discount right now, like the Varsity ones, which I'm really digging.
$35, it's pretty good.
Versus normally 70.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sizes available too. So hop onto those if you want to get those. Their Ultimate hoodies, we scroll down a little bit more, are $20. Now those sizes I think are a little bit limited, but if there's like the Reinhardt one you want to get for $20, dude, you can't buy a jacket at Target for $20.
Yeah.
So, definitely see what they have left. If you had a character that you really wanted to get, or even just get an extra. Like, I'm even looking at it, I'm like, is there an extra, like, Sombra jacket that I can get? Just because, yeah. God forbid, it gets caught or torn.
There we go, it's loading.
Excuse me. I did notice, though, on Jinx, they also have World of Warcraft gear. And,
Oh, you want me to bring that up?
Well, it's, I don't have the link for it. Their Varsity hoodies that they have for Horde and Alliance for World of Warcraft are also on sale. They're not as good as the Overwatch ones are, but yeah, the Varsity Horde and Alliance, $35 versus 70, almost half. And then the for the Horde and Alliance hoodies, which I really like the Alliance one, 45 versus 60. So it's a little bit of a discount, not as much as the others. The premium zip-ups and the track jackets are, like, extra small sizes. Like, that's all they have left. They just want to get rid of them for
$10. Oh, okay.
I looked at those and I'm like, yeah. Oh, man, can we buy them? Not for us. But then they are having this thing where they have a mysterious bag of mystery. And they have two types, Giganto Edition and Small Edition. Excuse me. The big box, basically, is $40. But it comes with a lot of other franchises. So it includes Jinx brand, Overwatch, WoW, Witcher 3, Rocket League, PUBG, and other games that Jinx sells. So it's basically whatever stuff they want to get rid of in bulk. You can pick your sizes of t-shirts or outerwear. If you love mystery bags.
If you want to roll the dice.
If you love mystery bags.
It's a lot of popular stuff.
Yeah. But they have it also for men's sizes and women's sizes, same prices, 40 to 20. Well, check them out. Let's see. And then I think, oh, we went to Target the other night and we were looking at the toys. My brother always likes to look for
the Marvel
black, whatever it is, figures. And I saw that actually Funko Pop has these pop vinyl figurines, and they're like really small. They kind of remind me of the blind bags or boxes from BlizzCon, mm-hmm. but they're in a container. If you click the GameStop one, they have these mini figurines that you can see what you're getting. It's in a box with a little window. So if you think, oh, that Trace is really cute, or Mia looks freaking adorable, which she does, you can buy it for $7. And they sell them at Target, Walmart, and GameStop. Mm-hmm. But our Target had a bunch of them. So if you want like a cute little desk figurine and not have to deal with the whole blind bag debacle.
I love that Reaper.
He's just like, what's up? How's it going? Yeah.
Well, that's my favorite spray-in game. Is he doing this? Doing what? Like, yeah, like, huh? What?
I like D.Va because she's like a little bubble gum in her mouth. Which is yeah. really cute. So, you know, it's a cute little Funko Pop without having to go down that Funko Pop craze. Because I don't want to do that. And for $7, you can't really complain. And if anything, I bet if you were to go to, like, a GameStop, they might have, like, a really good sale in-house. Because mm-hmm. GameStop's oh, yeah. struggling.
Poor GameStop.
I know. Did I have any other notes? Oh, I did have Bangarang. We talked about them last time. I just checked their website. Mm-hmm. Their license is kind of gone. Because I searched for World of Warcraft leggings or anything, and there wasn't anything for World of Warcraft, but then you type in Overwatch, and they have leggings, like D.Va or May or mm-hmm. whatever. So I don't know what their license ending bundles were for, or was it just World of Warcraft? Because they've had this license for like 2015, or since yeah. 2015. So it's kind of like, if you want some Overwatch leggings or dresses or skater dresses, you know, go to their website. I don't know how long they'll last. But they're at like regular prices, I think. And it's all I kind of had for like shopping. Like,
yeah, no. Yeah,
it was a quick speed through of everything and
a lot of good stuff and
a lot of clearancing stuff of Overwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there wasn't anything. I'm really hoping they come out with a lot of new stuff soon because it's like end of BlizzCon. It's like, okay, now come out mm-hmm. with more things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. We didn't talk about the Facebook thing. The posters. Apparently, if you could pull up that Facebook thing on our notes, Blizzard found posters from BlizzCon. So I guess, now I remember at BlizzCon when you were in line to buy things, sometimes things sold out even though you had bought them in person on the app, where they're supposed to have like guaranteed stock. Until mm-hmm. the app says it was sold out. Well, I guess the rumor is on Facebook groups, that they found a few pallets of these BlizzCon exclusive posters. Specifically,
the Elise Starseeker one was the one that people had kind of gotten
excited for.
A lot of people had bought it and mm-hmm. they got canceled.
Yes.
I think was the problem.
Yeah. And they found some. So they're $15 if you want. Sylvanas, Tracer, Elise, Starseeker, the Barbarian, Blizzard, Egon.
Egon Stepman.
Thank you.
Arterial. And Mechaterial.
Yeah. So if you still want some BlizzCon posters, they're huge. Go get them.
I kind of want this Tracer one. I talked about it at BlizzCon.
Oh, no.
I might have to get it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get that free shipping for $30.
Ships so. Free with code BLIZZ29.
We gotta get some.
Do I gotta get $29?
Okay. I can totally help you with that.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think that'll be a problem.
We can do some shopping. But yeah, if you want some BlizzCon posters and you missed out due to like that selling out but not selling out type of thing, mm-hmm. go and check it out. Yeah, they still have some BlizzCon merch on their story event. I remember checking it out one time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kind of. Try to wrap it up quickly.
Yeah. No, it was a longer episode. Okay. About an hour and 20.
Yeah, not too bad.
So, a longer episode to catch us all up on the news. And
it could have been
longer. The Diablo 4 stuff really took up a lot of time. That took a lot of research.
On Overwatch, too.
Yeah, and Overwatch.
Love Overwatch.
Overwatch.
League.
League stuff. There's always news there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think
we'll... DreamHack.
Yeah, DreamHack was fun.
Hope we go back again.
Yeah, hopefully they bring it back to Anaheim.
There was some cool cosplay of Blizzard.
Yeah, there was a...
one of the judges.
One of the judges was dressed up as a pylon.
It was so cute.
And there was also someone competing that competed as Echo. And I believe she had competed at BlizzCon as well.
I think so, too. I'm pulling her up right now.
Yeah, we're pulling all the good stuff up.
Sparkle Stash
Yeah, Sparkle judge. Stash. So if you search Sparkle underscore Stash on Instagram, you can find her page, and there was a lot of cool stuff there. And then Coco Rocha cosplay was the Echo from Overwatch.
And her costume was cool. She couldn't talk in it.
Yeah.
But we saw her walking by.
Yeah, after. We saw her walking around with the helmet off, and she had these like LED glow on eyeliner. Glowing. Well, no, it was the lashes, wasn't it?
No, so she had LED strips as her eyeliner above her lashes. Yeah,
okay.
So under the mask that she had, you could see the faint glow of her eyes. But with her mask off, like it was just straight up like a strip of LED lights on her eyelids. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. And I think she got like third place or something.
I think so.
She placed in that one.
Yeah.
But the pylon judge was stinking adorable. So that was kind of fun because we were like, oh, we'll watch the cosplay because someone recommended that we check out the cosplay. and it was like, yeah, there was a few Blizzard things, a lot of PUBG. And it was only like, it was a small amount of cosplay. So if there is another DreamHack in Anaheim and you're a cosplayer,
yeah, well, go I mean, I think this was a smaller DreamHack than they normally are. I think they were just testing the waters out here,
especially
considering they're based in Europe. And it's, I think it's really tough to run a convention, especially in another country
than you're used to running. Well, Texas has been notoriously like renowned for being awesome and massive.
Yeah.
So in Anaheim, they were literally testing the waters.
Yeah.
I want to see it come back. Like the bring your own computer sold out super quick.
Yeah.
And that was well attended.
That was definitely helped out by the Fortnite Open.
Oh my God. All the Fortnite.
Yeah. So when we first went down to the BYOC area, I looked, but I didn't see any computers not playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like I'm not even joking.
No, we looked. Multiple times.
But yeah, the Fortnite Open had 1,100 entrants, which I'm just thinking of the logistics of getting 1,100 people through some sort of bracket, and that just...
I'm just thinking that about the number
and
of people.
Evo, like, blow my mind, because Evo has, like, 3,000 entrants in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And just trying to think of, like, how that operates just hurts my head a little bit.
Yeah. But I hope DreamHack does come back, and... Mm-hmm. I think there's enough of a market for it now here in California because, you know, we don't have LAN parties like we used to anymore. Yeah. You know, cafes are kind of not a thing here. And to see a bunch of, like, high schoolers and college kids, like, coming out and, like, hang out with their friends. Yeah. And it's definitely a younger market of fans. But it was still a cool convention. Like, it had room to improve for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked the little artist alley. The indie games were amazing.
They were super cool.
And I want to check out a lot of them and hope that they can come to fruition soon. I think it needs more space and more, like a lot of people said, publicity was not up to snuff.
It was kind of interesting, yeah.
And a lot of the people that were running it were volunteers.
I will say, please have StarCraft next year for DreamHack Anaheim. That would make me very happy.
If there's enough fan base for it.
Yeah. Well, DreamHack and ESL have the rights for StarCraft and Warcraft 3 esports for the next 3 years.
Oh, then why wouldn't they?
I know.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Well, the reason why they didn't have it this year was because IEM was like the week after.
Oh, a bigger tournament?
Just a different tournament.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They dallied up how they were doing the tournaments between the two companies.
Yeah.
So.
I hope it happens again.
For sure.
I would definitely want to go back again and check it out.
Yeah, definitely want to check it out. Yeah, no, streaming from the event was...
A highlight.
It was a highlight. It was definitely interesting getting set up. Be like, wait, how do I set all this stuff up? Because literally I just come home, everything is all set, and I hit a button and I start.
And then you had to redo
everything. I'm like, wait, I have to do everything from scratch. How do I do this? How do I do this?
You had to Google a few things.
Yeah. No, I definitely had to Google a few things because it wasn't the same setup as home.
I appreciate the fact that it's another gaming convention that we can all see friends again.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's another thing, too.
No, that was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is going to be episode 14 of the Nexus podcast.
2 weeks worth of data.
2 weeks worth of news. We'll see you guys next week, though, for more stuff. Check us out on nexuspodcast.com for all the old episodes. You can find me at DJ Tyrant on all social media. You can find Heather
as H Sailor Moon. and creative on everything.
Yeah. And you can find old video episodes on youtube.com/DJ Tyrant and check out the Facebook group, searching Nexus Podcast on there.
And Discord.
And Discord.
I'll figure that eventually.
Yeah, we'll go to my profile, click on the link at the top. Yeah. All the links are there. But thank you guys so much for coming by for the live stream. Thank you, Vipey, for the host.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
Miss and you.
Wildfire Tress for the host as well. Thank you guys so much for all your support. We'll see you next week and see you in the Nexus.